Let us pray together. Lord and Father of us all, we thank Thee for all of the good things in life and on earth, and for the joy of living. We praise Thee for Thy love in Jesus Christ and the sureness of His presence. Teach us how to turn unto Thee, that Thy thoughts may be our thoughts, and Thy ways our ways. Bless these who have come to worship Thee. Bless the one who shall speak to us, and may we become better ministers and servants of Thine. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation to which ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Some years ago, I had the privilege of sharing in a pastor's conference with Dr. Douglas Steer, the distinguished Quaker speaker and writer and mystic. One day, Dr. Steer said, "Tomorrow I'm going to talk with you about the collected man." And I must confess, I said to myself, what a silly sort of a subject, the collected man. As though man were a sort of a collection of things thrown together. I said to myself, what in the world can he say about a collected man? So I went the next day, rather skeptical about the whole business. But before long, I found how wrong I was and how right he was. He began by saying that he really was taking his text from the works of St. Augustine, who said, I was collected from the diversions that took me away from thee. Dr. Steer said, perhaps we can understand this a little better if we start with just the opposite, the uncollected man. And then the light began to dawn on me. I said, why, of course. If a man loses control of himself, what do we say? We say, he went to pieces. He flew off the handle. He lost his head. He's not all there. He's missing a few buttons. He's the uncollected man. And then I began to see how right he was, and I took out my pen and began to make some notes. I want to share a few of Dr. Steer's thoughts with you this morning. As we think about the man who is calm, cool, and collected. He said, the uncollected man, well, he's like Don Quixote. He gets on his horse and rides off in all directions. For him, life is very much speeded up all the time. He's always in a hectic hurry, always rushing to get somewhere. When some discussion comes up, he has to speak out first, and he has to speak out loudest, or somehow he feels defeated. He's just the uncollected man, not in control of himself at all. By contrast, the collected man is all there. He has a sense of unity within, a wholeness as well as a holiness in life. He's able to give his full attention to the subject at hand or the task that has to be done. Or if he's talking with a person, his whole attention is on that one person. He's not looking off in all directions. Furthermore, he accepts where he is and what he is. He accepts things that he can't change and doesn't spend a lot of time daydreaming about how much better it would be if things were just some other way. He's able to relax. He can go to sleep. He can put off till tomorrow the things that can well be put off till tomorrow because they don't have to be done today. Just as truly as he learns to do today's duty today because that is his responsibility at that particular time. And so he can relax and have a relaxed attitude toward it all. Or he learns to live with an eternal perspective. He sees his life as part of the plan of God, as part of a greater whole. And he looks at things through God's eyes. He illustrated by telling that priceless story about Dick Shepherd, the great British preacher some years ago, who one day was just all hot and bothered. He'd come down with a cold, one of those runny nose, awful head colds, and he had a whole lot of speeches to make and a lot of meetings to go to, and he was just all fretful and all hot and bothered about it. And then of a sudden, he had a little vision, and he began to laugh at himself because he saw God pacing up and down in heaven, wringing his hands. And the angel Gabriel said, "Lord, what's the matter with you?" And God said, "I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Dick Shepherd has a cold." And Dick Shepherd became more of a calm, cool, and collected man. Dr. Steer went on to point out that the collected man doesn't work alone. He knows that he is a worker together with God. As the old abbot said to some young monks one day when they were fretful in the monastery, he said, "Young men, you must remember that God was at work here long before you came. He's at work here now with you. And he'll still be at work here long after you're gone." But the man who works with an eternal perspective and knows that he works with God tries constantly to keep in tune with the infinite so that God can speak to him and he can speak with God. There are no frustrations, no fits of temper in the way. He's always in tune with the Most High. And he illustrated it by telling of a man who answered an advertisement for a telegrapher. They wanted a man who was skilled in the Morse code for a very exacting position. When he got to the place where he was supposed to apply for the job, there were several other men sitting in the room. They were all told just to sit there and wait for further orders. And in a few minutes, this one man got up and walked across the room and went through a door. And in just 2 or 3 minutes came back and said, the rest of you can go, I've got the job. And they said, how come you got the job? Oh, he said, didn't you hear? Just a few minutes ago, I heard on the Morse code from the other room, the first man who gets up out of his seat and comes through the door will get the job. He'd been in tune. And they weren't. So the collected man is in tune with the infinite. Now that's really what Paul is saying to us in the scripture lesson of the morning. Listen again to some of the things Paul said. Live lives worthy of your high calling. Accept life with humility and patience, making allowances for each other because you love one another. Basically, you're all one in Christ. Sense that same unity within yourself. Though some are apostles and some are prophets and some are preachers and some are teachers, there's one body and one spirit and one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And since that's true, we're not meant to remain as little children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching and the jockeying of men. But hold firmly to the truth in love and grow up in every way into Christ the head. For it is from the head that the whole body harmoniously knit together grows to full maturity in love. That's the secret of being calm, cool, collected. Christ the head, and everything within us is to be harmonious with him, in harmony with his will and his spirit, and centered in his love. And such men work miracles. Lord Shaftesbury, for example, that man who did so much to revolutionize life in England, that great worker for social justice and the recognition of the rights and the needs of men. But he didn't just give himself to great causes, he loved people. One man tells how Lord Shaftesbury met him one day when he came out of jail for the 19th time. And he wasn't sure what the Lord would say to him this time, and the Lord said, I'm going to make a man out of you yet. And this man just out of jail said, I realized that he expected something good out of me. And that very day I pulled myself together and became a man. And he never went to jail again. But it was one who was centered in Christ and who showed the love of Christ that wrought the miracle. After all, that was the secret of Jesus, wasn't it? Many people this year will be going to see the Passion play in Oberammergau and hope someday you can see it. All day long, morning and afternoon, Jesus walks the stage till finally they hang him on a cross. And he triumphs over death. And you see the risen and triumphant Lord. You see the crowds that mock him, the religious fanatics that jeer at him, the soldiers that beat him, the men that try to judge him, though actually he judges them. He is the calmest, coolest, most dominant figure on that stage all day long. He was cool and calm and collected. You see it all through his life. You remember one day he was talking in his hometown and he read the story of the prophet Isaiah and the coming of the Messiah, and then he stood and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And they said, "Who is this man talking?" "Well, that's Joseph, boy, the carpenter's son. Who does he think he is?" And rage soon turned to frenzy, and they seized him and rushed out to the cliff at the edge of the city and were going to toss him over. What does Luke say? Jesus just turned and walked through their midst and walked away. Calm, cool, collected. In control, because he was. Calm no matter what happens. A storm on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, experienced fishermen, many of them, fearful for their lives, and they shake him, wake him up, and say, "Master, wake up, we're going to perish." The scripture tells how Jesus calmed the sea and the winds, but even more, he calmed them. The only calm man in the boat. But don't make the mistake of thinking that the man who is calm and cool and collected is complacent or inactive or ineffective. Just the opposite. Because he is in control of himself, because his emotions are disciplined, he's in control no matter what the situation may be. His power is disciplined and directed at the evils he's supposed to fight. See Jesus the day he walked into the temple and seized that cord and whipped the money changers out of the temple. They didn't run away from a crazy man. He ran away from a man who was calm, controlled, disciplined, full of the love and the will of God. And they respected him for it. And on the cross, they jeered and mocked. And it was agony, pure physical agony. But he remembered his mother. He forgave the penitent. He looked at those who were crucifying him and said, "Father, forgive them." Because there was a son who in the Garden of Gethsemane was at one with his father. Calm, cool, collected. The wonderful thing about it is that he's promised to be with us. That we don't have to go it alone. With all the tensions and trials and violence and struggles of our time, he's promised to help us. You remember how Marcellus learned that in Lloyd Douglas' wonderful story, The Robe? Marcellus, the young centurion who was presiding at the crucifixion of Jesus, and never could get over the haunting feeling that somehow he'd done wrong. And he came back later back to Palestine to see if he could find out what happened about all that. And he met a believer in Christ. The believer said, when he learned what was troubling Marcellus, said, "Marcellus, you don't have to worry about that. He's living. He's not dead." Marcellus said, "Don't tell me that. I killed him. I ordered that spear stuck in his heart. But he's alive. He's with us now. He's with me right now. And he'd be with you if you let him." Marcellus said, "I'm not so sure. I'd like to have some unseen spirit with me all the time." The believer said, "Oh, it's not like that at all. It's wonderful to have somebody with you who is always expecting you and helping you to be at your best. And how we need it. How we need it. But it can only be ours when our whole self is surrendered to him." I was reading just last night the experience of a man who spoke at Berkeley Divinity School just the other day. Told how he had to learn this. Stanley Jones had invited him to be a leader at one of his ashrams. And as the ashram opened, Stanley Jones spoke as only he could. And toward the close of his message, he said, "I have some uncommitted areas in my life, and I'm going to kneel here tonight and pray about them. If you have some uncommitted areas in your life, come and join with me and pray for yourself." And this distinguished minister told how he stood at the back and said, "That's not for me, that's for the rest of these folks." And God spoke to him and said, "I want all of you." And he went to the front and knelt. And said it dawned on him that God needed his bad guy areas as well as his good guy areas, and that God loved the bad guy as well as the good guy. And touched by that love, he surrendered his whole self. He said, "That night I became a whole man. And they went back to my church and said, 'You've got a new pastor.' And they had." You see it supremely in David Livingstone. You remember how when he walked on the platform at that great English university where he was to be honored, and it was the custom to badger and jeer at the man who was being honored just to keep him humble? David Livingstone walked in with that one arm hanging by his side from a lion's attack in the heart of Africa. And when David Livingstone came on the stage, the whole student body stood in awesome silence as their tribute of respect to a holy, dedicated man. You remember he wrote in his diary, "Send me anywhere, only go with me. Put any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any earthly tie save that which binds my heart to thee." And the day he died, he wrote in his diary, "Jesus, my Savior, my God, my King, once again, I dedicate my whole self to thee."
grow up in everything to Christ, the head. For it is from the head that the whole body, harmoniously knit together, grows to full maturity in love. Shall we pray? Help us, O God, in the strain and the stress of these days, like our Lord and through his presence in our lives, to be calm, cool, collected, whole men and women, wholly dedicated to the Lord Christ and his eternal kingdom, and unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever.